During the COVID-19 pandemic, virtual learning has been a big part of university operations. Fort Hays State University President Tisa Mason talks to us a little bit about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Of course, we love to talk about our online learning, which is really essential not only in Western Kansas and rural communities, but particularly with non-traditional and adult student learners. We started offering online courses more than 20 years ago. And before that, we were doing the other program with the community colleges, the interactive TV. Remember back in the interactive TV days? So we were delivering that even before the online courses. But at any rate, I think with everything that happened with COVID, there's a big misunderstanding in the difference between remote learning and online learning. So I'd like to kind of talk about that for a second, if it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So remote learning, which happened a lot in the conversion of these classrooms, both in the K-12 system as well as in higher education, is a process in which you try to emulate a face-to-face classroom. So it's often synchronous, which is the techie term to say everybody has to log on at the same time. It's supported maybe by some learning technology, but it may not be using learning management systems. All that means is that it may be, faculty building courses as they teach it, instructors presenting like they would in a face-to-face course, and just signing on and having everybody join them. Online learning is usually primarily asynchronous and sometimes with synchronous components. Again, the techie word meaning I'm an adult student, I sign on when it's convenient to me around family and chores and work. And there may be some times that there are presentations that I have to put on my schedule or meetings with the faculty or other class type of meetings. It's very flexible, and there's a lot of autonomy for students built into the course design, again, especially for adult learners. We know sometimes traditional age students have trouble with that autonomy, which is why remote learning, when it's mostly everybody come to class and participate on Zoom during the class time, could be a little bit beneficial, but it's just not as dynamic. So when you're online learning, there's a lot of content experts that help design the course and deliver it. It's really designed for diverse and creative ways to interact and communicate beyond a traditional classroom context. It's not designed like remote learning to emulate face-to-face, but again, it is interactive. Students are expected to be self-directed and with the instructor monitoring the progress and providing feedback. So online learning is highly interactive, even though it can be mostly on the student's time. And I think that's a really big misconception. And it's very different than everybody who is picturing all people did was get on their computer, hit Zoom like we did with so many meetings, and faculty talked at them. That's not the same. And so for Fort Hays State, since we are really good at online learning, we were able to put together hybrid and online classes for our on-campus students that were not necessarily remote learning. They were very much built with online learning elements and heightened activity and learning technologies. So that makes our approach a little bit different.
Yeah, and I think that that clears that up quite a bit. But also, in either model, I've got to believe that with that quick transition, that it did impact some students' ability to absorb that information. And I know, when I was in college, both in undergrad and grad school, I took online classes and virtual and in-person classes. And I know I did not typically do well in a strictly online class. And I think a lot of people are in that same kind of mode where they just learn better one-on-one. But, you know, now we're hearing from the legislature a bunch of calls for refunds for those students. And I don't know, maybe if you want to talk a little bit about that, like, why did we have to change to that method? And, you know, is that a fair assessment of the situation, or even fair of them to call for, you know, refunds or money to go back to students who didn't maybe get that experience they were expecting?
Well, you know, it's. I think it's driven, if it's correct to say, a little bit anecdotally, which is always dangerous. I know that some of the legislators had some children of their own who had those experiences, and I would never say we don't have experiences at Fort Hays State University where students struggle. Whether it is online or in the classroom, there's still an essential aspect of motivation and self-directedness that gets you out of bed and sitting in the classroom as much as it does online and checking in. So I think that's one aspect of it for sure. You know, the spring was a little different than the past year because the spring was a close down of campus. All of a sudden, as we remember way back when, it's hard sometimes with all this time what it was like in the moment, the state shut down K-12. And I know that that was a significant trigger point for Fort Hays State University to say to our students, as we were preparing for spring break, you probably ought to go home if you should, and we're going to start moving to online and some aspects of remote learning as well, because it was such a short transition period. When you're developing online courses, it takes a significant amount of time and resource to do that. So I think that was part of it.
Well, and I would think, too, that a lot of the instructors that maybe then were forced to teach in an online or virtual model had never really had that experience as well.
That is true, and I love to talk about our secret weapon at Fort Hays State University, which is called TILT, our Teaching Innovation and Learning Technologies. And these are professionals. It's a whole department who have expertise in advanced course development, faculty development, and educational technology. So at Fort Hays State, forget the pandemic. If you are choosing to do an online class, you can't just put it online. You work with a team that is surrounding you, that is asking you questions like, what are the students going to be like? Are you going to have non-traditional students? Are you going to have traditional students? How does that impact where they are with their learning skills? And then how does that segment of population, as well as your discipline-specific information, drive different technologies available to make that learning-intensive and student-engaged? That's a whole department of people that we have focused solely on delivering a high-quality online experience. And that's where we are game changers.
Yeah, and if I can just throw my own personal experience on this, my wife, who is a Fort Hays State University instructor and has spent a significant portion of her academic career teaching online and helping develop online coursework, when we left Hays and we were at another school out of state, but when we arrived, we expected that she would be able to pick up some of those online courses as well. And come to find out, the university in that department offered one online class, where here, I think there was, 60 or 70 online courses in this department. So it's not, and this school, by the way, is a D1 school. So for Fort Hays, as a leader in online education for the size we are, is just incredible. And I absolutely have to believe that you're right, that those tools and those skills that have been developed here really set Fort Hays State University apart. And that's something else we want to talk about. There's some recognition that has been given to the university over the years. I know we're frequently in that top 10 list of online programs, but I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that and how that all kind of works with the organization that oversees that distance learning aspect.
Yes, of course. We love to talk a little bit about that because we're really proud of our colleagues who have worked so hard over the history and the leadership of the institution to get us to where we are today. There is a national organization called the United States Distance Learning Association. It's a nonprofit distance learning group, and their work focuses on supporting distance learning research, development, and best practices. They started a certification process several years ago, understanding, I believe, how uneven online education can be. And so it's a very rigorous process. You start off, you're not required to do this, so you have to volunteer. And, of course, Fort Hays, knowing how important online learning was to our adult students and our rural students, really wanted to go through the process. So you have to go through an application process. That application is then reviewed by a team of experts, and you get a yay or a nay. If you get a yay, then there's an additional review, including a site review. The site team even has conversations, focus groups with our students that are receiving our online education, and we are evaluated on a rigorous 91-point quality standard checklist, so to speak. So we have all kinds of areas, including administration, leadership and management, student affairs, how do we support our students learning online, as well as teaching and learning. It's a pretty big deal. Last time we checked, and of course the number changes because of the number of institutions that are involved, we were only one of six in the entire nation that met those standards who applied for the program.
Wow. Right here in little old Hays, Kansas.
In little old Hays, Kansas. But that's important because our students are from all over the United States and even the world.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that as well, because, or at least talk about that a little bit. Again, from my personal experiences of watching my wife work from our kitchen table over the last year, and even in previous years doing online stuff, so many of her students have been international. They're not even in the United States, and I believe that has got to have a huge economic impact to both the university and the region, with those dollars coming into Hays from China and African countries and South America and just all over the place.
Yes, it does, and that's really important because we always use the ability to generate revenue to continue to keep tuition low and affordable for our Kansas residents, and that's really important to us. It's one of the things that we've focused on for decades.
Yeah, and I know one of your predecessors, Dr. Hammond, that he was really instrumental in setting that up in his time, and he talked about that a lot during his tenure, or at least the tenure that I experienced, because his tenure lasted longer than I've been alive here. But yeah, it's interesting to me as well. You know, how do we, as we kind of move past COVID, like, what do you see that role of the virtual college continuing, or Fort Hays Online, I guess, of the new terminology? How do you see that kind of shaping up and continuing to grow?
Well, you know, we have always been strong and have invested a lot in online learning regardless of COVID, and we will continue to have a strong focus on delivering an excellent national and international online program. And again, that's really important for a lot of our adult learners in Kansas as well. We've been thrilled to be recognized for our Master's in Education program for veterans, our Master's in Nursing, a Master's in Education and Bachelor programs for veterans, online programs and MBA programs, all kinds of great online and non-traditional students. And in fact, just recently, College Factual actually named Fort Hays State number one best fine and studio arts colleges in Kansas for non-traditional students.
Wow.
So we're really proud of that, and we continue to market even more target and more intensely in the United States because we know that quality, and even for online, our tuition is still a high value point. And we sure would like some of our competitors that have those national names that they're, we would love for the students to recognize that they could get a great education through Fort Hays State University at a quality bargain price and do really well here. So we are going to continue to expand our online programs. At the same time, we're going to work hard to grow our and maintain our on-campus enrollment, because especially for the traditional age student, it's such an important time in their lives to connect with other people, to discover their talents, to have just great experiences where a non-traditional student may or may not be able to study abroad. This morning I was talking with our SGA president, asking her if she would be running again next year, and she said, well, I've really had a great experience, but I'm really excited about our study abroad program. And so the great thing about our exchange program is that our students can study in certain places across the world for the same price that they pay Fort Hays.
Wow.
So she's looking at Belgium and Germany right now. She's a hospitality and tourism major. And when she gets accepted, because it's an exchange program, when she goes there, she will be paying Fort Hays fees. Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, that's so cool. You could go to any school. And I mean, and not to knock Fort Hays for being, on the lower end of pricing, but that is a real draw, I think, to the university. And I've got to believe we're, at least in the state of Kansas, the lowest, per credit hour school, right?
Yes. And, we like to talk about it as value.
Value, there you go.
Because it is a great value.
Yeah, and I know we got Fort Hays was dinged several years ago, and this is before your tenure, but they had the slogan that wasn't very popular amongst some people, and it was affordable success. But I always loved that, because I thought that exactly encapsulates what Fort Hays, the mission, at least at the time, because it was setting you on a track to launch into your career at a price point that is not going to, make it impossible to live your life going out. I see some people coming out of school now, they've got $200,000, $300,000 worth of debt, and you can graduate Fort Hays with a master's degree and not even get close to that level.
Well, the spirit of affordable success will always be alive at Fort Hays State University, whether it's a tagline or not. It's definitely part of who we are as a state comprehensive institution, and personally, very important to me and to other leaders of this campus, just as it was during President Hammond's administration. So we will continue to drive that, and even with our low tuition point, we do such an extraordinary job, thanks to the generosity of our philanthropists, in piling scholarships on top of that tuition.
Oh, yes. We spoke with the interim director down at the alumni, Fort Hays, now I'm forgetting her title, but Tammy Welbrock, she's running something down there in the Alumni Association, and we're talking about that very thing and how, it keeps the community connected, people offering that to those incoming students. And that is a boon, not just for the university again, but for the region, because you bring in talent and people that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the university.
Yeah, that's really important to our community. And we're just so blessed to have such strong relationships with both our city and county commissioners.
Yeah, that helps. That makes a world of difference. Tisa, I would love to talk to you about this all day, but we have got to get over to news, weather, and sports. Any last thoughts real quick before we go?
I always like to end these to thank you, James, for always engaging us in such positive conversations. There have been so many people who have struggled this year and suffered loss. There's also been some sunshine spots throughout the last several months. And so I just want to say it's a real privilege to live and work in Hays America, and we thank everyone for truly being a partnership and helping our students, whether they're 18 or 88, Nola Oaks. We just thank everybody for being part of this amazing community.